Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
Welcome back to the Eric Stewart Show. Jason Martin joins me this morning. He's a financial planning specialist, vice president, and advisor at Morgan Stanley in Bethesda, Maryland. Jason, good to see you again this morning.
Thank you for having me back, Eric.
Yeah, we've been talking about the principles of wealth management, planning for the future.
Yes.
And last time we chatted about seeing the forest for the trees and the importance of having a big picture in mind. Today, we're going to discuss principle number three, which is...
Begin with the end in mind.
Begin with the end in mind. Okay, what do you mean by that?
Okay, so here's an example. In general, we find that clients have simply written checks to their charities of their choice.
Mm-hmm.
But what if there was a more efficient way to accomplish the same charitable goals? Even identifying one low basis stock that can be gifted to a charity... The charity can then turn it around and sell on a tax-free basis. That's a much more efficient way to create a gift than simply selling the stock yourself, paying capital gains, and writing a check.
So to be clear, let's say you've got something that you bought at $10 a share and it's now worth $20 a share. You've got a $10 gain. If you were to sell it, you're going to have to pay capital gains tax, both federal and state, on that. Why not put it in a charitable trust and then sell it and then give it?
That's correct.
Okay.
So essentially, you're giving the fair market value, which in your case is $20, and you're getting the deduction for the full value that case.
And in this case, so you don't have to give the stock directly to a charity outside of yourself. If you put it in your charitable trust, you could then sell it and then give a portion of it to different charities.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
So there are charitable trusts that can be considered essentially tax-free, irrevocable trust.
Mm-hmm.
Clients can, as you said, establish their own trust where low basis stock can be gifted in the same way I mentioned when donating directly to charities. They can set up a trust where the beneficiaries can receive income for their lifetime as well, or the charity can receive income during their lifetime. These are referred to as charitable remainder trust or charitable lead trust,
mm-hmm.
and tax deductions are available with these strategies as well. Both can be very effective depending on the circumstances and what they want to plan for.
I think most people want to give back, right? I think most people
Absolutely.
Are concerned, though, that they might give away too much and then run out of money for their own retirement and their own goals. And so how do you address that dilemma?
Certainly. The key to doing that is by running a financial plan, which will tie in all of your assets and sources of income and then calculating what each of these goals will cost, such mm-hmm. as your annual living expenses, cost of educating your children or grandchildren, paying off your mortgage, buying a second home, or other goals such as your charitable endeavors. We will calculate different tax rates, and then we will run these at different rates of return scenarios, all to see which combination will make the client's financial plan work best. Mm-hmm. When we have a high degree of confidence that all these goals can be funded, including these charitable interests, that is when the client can make all these charitable gifts.
I love the complexity. You make it sound very easy, and that's why you're good at what you do. The Capital Bay Group at Morgan Stanley, we appreciate you guys being on the show. Jason, somebody wants to reach out to you, talk to you about maybe discussing the setting up of a charitable trust or getting a financial plan. How would they get a hold of you?
Certainly. If anyone wants to reach us, please call my office and ask to speak to my assistant, Kiara, mm-hmm. at 301-961-1802, and we're happy to speak to you further. We can get you a copy of the white paper that we're referencing in the seven principles as well.
Right. So if you want a copy of the seven principles for wealth management, you can call Jason now at 301-961-1802, and you can talk to Kiara or Jason. You know, why I have Capital Bay on the show is that, I talk about real estate. I'm excellent at helping you buy and sell real estate, and that's what I've done for 27 years. And I walk people through. I've created my own white papers with the Market Ready Guide and the Right Sizing Guide, which you can get on our website at ericstewartgroup.com, of course. These guys, I come into people's homes. People are thinking about selling. Sometimes they have plans. Sometimes you have a plan. You've already got everything organized. Fabulous. But for those of you who don't, I highly recommend that you reach out and have a conversation. One more thing about it is this is a team of people, men and women who've come together who are specialists in their own parts of the wealth management process, and they're all together within the same group. So a question can be answered right on the spot by somebody else within the group who specializes in some particular thing, like Jason with charitable trusts. So again, reach out to them at 301-961-1802. Jason Martin, it's been great to have you on the show this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Jason. Candy Watts from the Eric Stewart Group joins me today. You may not know who Candy is, so I'll take a moment and introduce you. Candy joined our group this year, and she is coming off of a career in appraising homes. And Candy, good morning.
Good morning, Eric.
I had you on the show today because I think a lot of our listeners would like to understand what is the value of an appraisal and what are some of the challenges that you face as an appraiser in coming up with fair market value for a house when you're selling a property. It's a little bit different. It's just a question of finding the buyer who's willing to pay the price, right? But what about the bank? The bank sends the appraiser out to the property, and I always say there's two buyers, the buyer and the bank. The bank sends the appraiser out. What are some of the challenges that you face as an appraiser in appraising property in the real estate community?
Well, you're right, Eric. The bank does give the appraiser a very specific box, I call it a box, of rules, regulations, and guidelines. A lot of them come down from Fannie Mae, which are totally out of everybody's control. We have to do a lot of bracketing in our appraisal, something bigger, something smaller, something older, something younger, larger lot, smaller lot.
Mm-hmm.
They would like us to show that the subject property that we're appraising is normal in the community, not on one extreme or the other. So this is why we bracket. When we're coming through a slow market like the winter market like we just had, it's harder sometimes to do this bracketing and then harder sometimes to support value.
Right.
We don't have a lot of selections for comparables, not a lot of sales.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the bank would like four comparables all within the last 6 months, all right within the same community. It's not always possible.
Right.
So if you have something unusual to your property, such as an in-ground pool, sometimes a tennis court, four-car garage, those are things that the appraiser is challenged to support not only the value of it, but the marketability of that specific item.
You mean the appraiser has some decision in the marketability, not just in the perceived value?
Exactly. Sometimes if there's an unusual item in the house, a larger lot, an in-ground pool, we may have to extend a search area, extend a search time to go back and find a sale that has that item in it also that would support the marketability of that particular unique feature of the subject property.
Okay, so the other day we went out to a home in Clifton, right, where there was an elevator that had been constructed on the property. And one of our listeners, Mr. and Mrs. Coleman, contacted us to try to come up with what is the fair value of an appraisal when you have an elevator. What is that fair market value? You did some research on that. Is that right?
That's really hard. You know, there's more houses with pools than elevators. But if you look at the demographics, I think in time that will be changing. We have to support to a lender not only the value of the elevator, but marketability. Unfortunately, many people would love a house with an elevator in it, but they're not going to be willing, unless they have a specific need, to pay extra for that luxury of having the elevator. So I know that this elevator was extremely expensive for this gentleman to put into his house, but he did it all top-notch, first-class products, materials. So that is very hard, to find a house with an elevator that has sold. But we have to find one.
Got to find one, and when the time comes to sell, got to find the right buyer who will pay the value of the elevator as much as possible. Clearly, it's done to serve a physical need in the moment, right? It's not, people don't necessarily put an elevator into their house unless they really have a need for it, in which case it becomes a priceless investment.
Exactly. And that's, I guess, on the real estate side, that's when it becomes really important, you know, when you're marketing the house for sale, to try to tailor your marketing towards the demographics of the society who might be looking for an elevator in their house.
Yeah, plus if you think about selling a house and paying the cost to sell the property, the commissions, the congestion tax in Virginia, or if you're in Maryland, the transfer and recordation taxes, same thing for D.C., you go through that process to then buy another property that has one level living, and then you'll need to sell it again. Whereas they could stay in their existing home, not have to pay all those exchange expenses of changing from one property to the other. They get to enjoy their home. They already have all the relationships around them that they want and that they want to retain. So it ends up being really a good decision for this family, as it is for many. But to your point, you have to find properties that offer specific amenities that are comparable. In this case, an elevator. In other cases, a pool. We have a home in Fairfax, 4201 University, which is on the market. It has a nice pool in the backyard, right?
Yes.
Next week, I'll talk about pools and the value of your pool or the negative value of having a pool. And it'll be relevant to my business and the sale of real estate and Candy's in appraising real estate. Got to take a break right here. More to come right here on the Eric Stewart Show, so don't go away.